Well, here we are, having baptized Magnus, and welcome to all of you who are here today to celebrate this ritual with us. We gather for a ritual. That's what we're doing this morning. A couple of rituals. Baptism of Magnus, and we'll celebrate communion or Eucharist later on. And rituals are things that get repeated in the same way over time, usually using the same words and the same actions. And there are lots of words used to describe rituals, which can sometimes be boring, repetitive, irrelevant. But in our world, one of the few places that remains that we have rituals to mark important places in our lives is the church. And so we gather here to use those rituals to inform our faith and to encourage us in our daily lives. Rituals are regular, ordinary things that we do all the time, repurposed for a higher goal. So think about this baptism. What does it remind you of? Probably it reminds Lionel and, Karen, my name blank, Lionel and Karen, of when they bathe Magnus. They probably have a nice warm tub of water and they put him in there and they take the water and gently put it over his face, getting rid of the milk mustache and the mushed peas and the crusty bits that children attach to themselves. And in doing that, what they're doing is a regular, ordinary thing. They're washing away the dirt and the things that could make him sick, that could harm him. And they are showing him the great love that they have for him in their heart, and they're creating the foundation for the rest of his life by that gentle and everyday action of washing him. And so today we come and wash him again, just his forehead this time. But there's some differences, of course. When we wash him here, first of all, we're all here. That's a big difference. And we use different words. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And baptism only happens once. And the other thing about baptism is you have to have someone else to do it for you. Presumably, Lionel and Karen aren't going to bathe Magnus when he's older. He's going to do his own thing. But for baptism, you must come and ask for our representative of the church to do it for you. You see, there's a greater purpose to baptism. That's why it's a ritual. The greater purpose of washing with deep cleansing power that lasts for a lifetime. God's power. Not mine, but God works through this ritual to actually say, Magnus, you're a wonderful, beautiful human being. You're loved by all of us. And we're all involved. We are all committing to supporting him in his life and in his faith. And so that's a very important difference. But isn't it beautiful that we all get to participate in it? And so the bond and the connection between him and his parents here is between him and us and God, the person who really created him through you. And our relationship with them, with Magnus and with God, is all brought here in this place this morning. A ritual is much more than words. It's the actions that shape the way we think and the way we act. And these actions challenge all of us, because we're challenged every time we have a baptism to see ourselves as a part of a greater family in a new way, as people who are cleansed over and over again by God's love, and we are so held like Magnus is held and cared for by our God. Now, when you look into a child's eyes, I certainly know this is true for Magnus. It's like you're looking into a deep well, and he's looking back. I don't know what Magnus is thinking, but it feels to me when you're looking into a young child's eyes, you're looking right into the heart of God. Because at the beginning of our lives and at the end of our lives, we are much closer to the divinity, whatever that is really. Think of it, when you're born, you've already been around for a while, feeling created and loved. And at the end of our lives, we often make a smaller circle around us as we go on to whatever is after us. So I'm convinced that children in particular know much more about God than we do. And we lose touch of that during our lives. We get too busy with living, surviving, carrying on, and also showing love to others. So today is a touchstone. It's something much more bigger and profound and sacred than we have in our everyday life. And believe it or not, that reading was actually to encourage us. I know it's hard to imagine how that reading about the mustard seed could possibly be encouraging. Usually it's read that Jesus is scolding the disciples. If you just had this enough faith, you'd be fine. But actually, I think Jesus is encouraging them. They've had a pretty tough time up until this point. They've been challenged in every way to leave their families to follow Jesus, to give up everything they own to follow Jesus, to have a new kind of life. And Jesus is always turning things upside down on them. Just when they think they know what they're doing, he says, "No, that's not right. Let's go over here and do this." So at this point, they need some encouragement. They say, "Increase our faith, because frankly, we're going to take off soon if you don't." And Jesus said, "You've already got it. All you need is what is the size of a mustard seed." That's the picture on your bulletin this morning. You can hardly see the mustard seed. Go home, look at the mustard seed in your cupboard. It's small. And Jesus is saying, "You already have it. That faith has been there since you were created. It's God's faith in you, and you just have to remember it's there. It's you are meant to be you in the fullest way you can be. Now go, take it, and live it. Live it, and don't worry about how much you have." You see, this whole thing about the slaves, we are fortunately not living in a slave culture anymore. But what that is about is that they know what their job is, essentially, and they know that they're to serve the master and eat later. And they're not going to ask for more, because that is what they are meant to do. That is, they are doing their life's work. And we're to think that too. We don't need to look for more faith or pretend that we don't have any. We are to live it. We are to say, "Here it is, God, we're giving it back to you." That's what our job is. Our job is to stand firm in who we are, to stand firm in something that's not quantifiable, and to live together. And so the idea of baptism, bringing Magnus into this family, this bigger family around the world, is that he has a big family now to help, that we can talk to each other and keep from leading each other down to the valley of death. And keep forgiving one another over and over again. That's what the Christian family is to be about. And it's not that we have a superhuman reservoir of faith, but it's because God gives us what we need every single day to flourish in a faithful community. So this ritual, this washing, this celebrating, the giving of light, the marking with oil and the sign of the cross, this sharing in the bread and the wine and communion, they all point to something much bigger than what they actually do. They point to God being within us and God sending us out, taking that bit of faith that we have and making it become us. So when we leave today, don't go yet, may you be challenged to see yourself as part of a family bigger than your own. May you be in a new way, as someone who's been cleansed and loved and cared for in the hands of your parents and in the love of God. And remember that you have enough faith to be yourself in your own way, to grace this world with God's gift that he has and God has given you in your birth, that you may forgive and give and forgive and live and love as God hopes we always will. Amen.